Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station present Les RVF Marathon, which aims to promote language duality in Canada across the country. Stay tuned for this marathon day of the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and visit www.ncra.ca/RVF for more information on this event.
Bonjour, my name is Pierre Davidson. I live in the South Okanagan in Oliver, BC, and our Rendez-vous de la Francophonie participating station is Peach City Radio CFUZ, Penticton's community radio station. This is the journey to Canadian bilingualism. We will talk with people from different age groups about their journey to become bilingual. We will hear the enthusiasm of two young persons who are just starting with their journey, but already with a considerable knowledge of their second language and more. And we will hear stories of two that have been bilingual for a long time, though they are still young. First, the beginners.
My name is Benjamin Koenig. I'm 15. I am from here. I've lived in Oliver my whole life, and my parents' family language is English.
Benjamin was a student in the Tuckahnuit Late Immersion 6-7 grade program, a program I did a spotlight on last year through the RVF. He was there at the beginning of the program. I asked him first how he liked the program.
I very much liked that. It was different from all other friends' French studying experiences before, because every class was in French. So you're sort of forced to adapt to the language.
You went to the Tuckahnuit program. Afterwards, you went to high school on an advancement program?
Yeah, so it was French 1 year ahead and advanced. So when I left Tuckahnuit from grade 7 to grade 8, in grade 8 I was in a grade 9 French advanced program and kept going on from there. So it's 1 year higher, and also an advanced French is sort of a French immersion environment where we all only speak French just to improve.
I've met you through the grocery store when I said bonjour, mm-hmm. and you answered back, comment ça va? So you use your language at work.
Yeah, if not very often, but if people speak French to me first, like I notice they don't speak very good English, I try to speak French to them.
How does it feel to know a second language?
It definitely feels, life feels more open. I can communicate with a lot more people. And again, I can read more things and just consume more knowledge that's not all in English. I can something that's originally in French, it's better experience that way. And also I am going to be traveling to France, so that'll definitely be useful.
Oh, that's cool.
So, even though I know Quebecois French, it might be a little different, but.
So is that through the school program?
My trip to France?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's through a school trip, going to different places in Europe over spring break.
Oh, so that will come in handy for you.
For sure, yeah. And also my studying of Spanish will help too.
I also ask him how his mind works while speaking different languages.
Oh, definitely. The mind has to switch over into the other language. If I'm translating from French back to English is a little difficult reading off a page, because you just, instead of translating into English sentences, just think and you see it, because the grammar, everything's in a different order, right? So your brain just switches over into French grammar mode.
Okay.
And being in French immersion, I learned lots of like science words, and they're cognates, but they're spelled slightly differently. So that's changed. It was a little bit, for a little while, I had all my science knowledge in French. So it was a little bit of a
work over when you switched back to
English
when
I switched
classes.
Back to English classes in science.
That's a good one.
Now we will hear from Mataya. She didn't go through the late French immersion program like Benjamin, but is keen in learning French and is going through an enhanced or advanced French program in high school. She is quite enthusiastic in learning languages.
So my name is Matea. I'm 15 years old and I'm from Oliver, and I've been living in the Okanagan for my whole life. And our family language is English, but my parents both do speak a bit of French because they learned it through high school, and I believe my mother learned a bit in university as well.
I ask her first to talk about her path to learning French.
So in our elementary schools, basically, I think it's from around grade 4 to grade 8, French is mandatory, everyone takes it. I do, however, remember learning the days of the week in French in grade 3, but it's typically grade 4 you start, and we typically just learn vocabulary and not too much grammar structure, but we learned like the basic sentences like, can I go to the washroom, that kind of stuff. So we learned that in grade 8, it was mandatory in high school, and then grade 9, it's optional to grade 12, but I've been taking it, and I will be taking it to grade 12.
Do you have any obstacles on the journey? Like, what were some of the obstacles to learn the French?
I think just forcing myself to actually speak and use it, because we never really talked amongst ourselves until grade 9, because I had a different teacher in grade 8, but then once I hit grade 9, that French teacher was actually, we were her first, she called us her guinea pigs, and we were starting to learn a new approach to learning French, which made me progress so much in that 1 year. And then I'm taking, like, I just finished French 11 advanced. So basically, she only speaks to us in French, and we have to respond to her in French, and that's just the rule. So it really pushes ourselves to communicate with her and our peers in French.
Next, she talked about her interest in other languages she is picking up and what she is learning in the process.
Yes, so I'm learning, I think, other than French and English, I'm learning German, Italian, Spanish, Dutch, Turkish, and a bit of sign language. But I'm only conversational in French, German, and Italian, and the other ones I'd like to think of myself as a beginner still. And I started learning, after English and French, I started learning German in grade 7, just after watching a video about a hyperpolyglot. So someone who speaks like around 7 plus languages is like kind of fluent or conversational. Just like that blew my mind, that someone I never thought of learning languages. So since I had access to internet, I thought, why not? Why can't I learn a bunch of languages? That really interested me. So started from German, and then I've been picking up a couple every so years. With French, just learning French language or any language, you really learn about your own mother tongue. So I learned a lot about English and the correct grammar structures, because French has the same structure, and it helps me with English and in English class, and just communicating to more people, because if some people don't speak English but speak French, I can speak to them. A story when I was in last year, I did not know much French at that time, but we took a trip to Quebec, and in the cafe we were waiting in line to order, but there was this man in front of us, and my father was asking him in English if he had ordered already, but the man didn't speak any English, so I asked him in French. So that was a way, like, I haven't met too many people that only speak French and don't speak English, because I don't know. Just
so you were sort of forced to try to converse in that language. That's good. So what would be your goal in learning both languages? And it seems more than both languages. What is your goal with that? Do you have like a plan in mind, or is it just for the fun of it?
It started with the fun of it, but a bunch of other like when I first started learning a bunch of languages, I've always my goal was just to become a polyglot. So like a person that speaks 3 or 4 languages, almost to fluency, kind of that. So that's what I was going for, just for fun. But I just want to see how many languages I can retain and how many I can be conversational in. So the sky's the limit for me. I don't know. But in French, it'd be fun to be fluent or close to fluent. That's my goal with every language that I learn.
This makes me feel good to know that bilingualism can have a strong future, even from a remote place like Oliver. Next, we have a young adult and her unusual journey to bilingualism.
My name's Kira. I'm 24 years old. I was born in Penticton, British Columbia, raised in Oliver for most of my life. I lived in Saint-Sébastien, Quebec for 4 or 5 years of my life before moving back to BC to continue my adult life.
So how did you came to know the second language? Would you, what is your first language, first of all, and which language after that you learned?
I would say my first language is English. I began speaking English just when I was little. My mother's first language is French, but she has always been bilingual with me as well. At the age of 2, she decided it was time that I learn the French language, and it was at the age of 2 that I needed to start learning all of the words from top to bottom. So she stopped speaking to me in English for a good year. She wouldn't respond to me if I asked questions in English. She would only respond if I asked them in French. There was notes on every piece of furniture in the house. Every plate was written in English and in French. The fridge had it written in English and in French, just so that I was reminded to remember both languages and use both languages at home. And I think that was a really great way to learn for me.
What language school did you went to?
I always went to an English school.
Okay. When you were in Quebec?
Even in Quebec, I went to an English high school, yeah.
Okay. So basically, you can say English is your first language.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I asked, like, any obstacles on the journey that to learn that second language? Did you find it hard?
Absolutely. I'm sure I had a hard time, especially when I was younger. As I got older and I was always in the English schools, I found it hard to have to work in the environment in Quebec when I had to go and work and speak in French all the time.
Okay.
I was quite shy when it came to speaking French to everybody. Just I thought that I had an accent and that I wasn't well understood. But it turns out that I did a pretty good job and I caught on really quickly and I was able to hold conversations with no problem. So,
what has helped you knowing more than one language? And can you tell some good stories about how it helped you?
Absolutely. Bilingualism has helped me tremendously in my careers. So finding my first job, I was working in Toys R Us in Quebec, and I was able to speak both English and French, and that was a really great asset in the retail world. Now I'm able to help my clients at the veterinary clinic where I work. Occasionally we'll have clients that come in that don't speak any English and they only speak French, and no one else in the clinic speaks French. So I'll go in there and I'll do all the translating, and obviously it's very helpful seeing as I can understand what they're saying and help with their pets. I remember in school, when I was in high school in Oliver, the French classes that we would have, our teachers were never bilingual. So I remember once being asked to lead the French class itself because I was better versed than our teacher was at the time. So that was pretty cool as well.
So that may brings you up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was really fun. And I mean, the kids looked up, the other students looked up to me as well because I was able to help them with all that kind of stuff. And I obviously excelled in the class. So that was nice.
How does it make you feel to know a second language? You feel good about it?
It's not something I think about very often, but okay, it is something that I'm really proud of, and I'm happy to say that I can speak two languages fluently. It's obviously an asset in my life when I need to use both languages, or when I hear somebody speaking the other language, I can respond to them. Or if I hear somebody with an accent who might be struggling with their English, I can switch to French and help us have a better conversation. So I'm really happy to be able to know two languages, and I'm so thankful that, you know, my mother and my family taught me a second language.
This is a funny question, but how does your mind work when you're talking in whichever language you're talking? Does one translate, or does you switch? You have a switch that goes French English.
I thought a lot about this question when I read over the interview questions, and I had to catch myself. I decided to talk to my mom in French and see what was going on, and really my mind just switches. So if I'm speaking to you in French, I'm thinking in French. If I'm speaking to you in English, I think in English. Occasionally there'll be words that I forget in French. So then I'll translate as I go, but most of the time I just think in whatever language I'm going to be speaking.
What do you think about bilingualism that we have in Canada? Like officially we have two languages. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's great. I think that it's really important that everybody can be understood, and that if more people in the, let's say, the retail world or anything like that, they speak two languages, then I think it's great that you can speak to whoever comes on your path, or most of everybody who comes on your path.
What can you tell somebody else what to look for or what to avoid when learning a second language?
Don't put on the brakes when you're feeling nervous about speaking that other language. You may stumble on your words, you may forget things. Most people are really accommodating when you're learning a second language, or when they notice that you're having trouble speaking your second language, that may not be the one that you're used to speaking. And I think that was something that was really hard to remember, is to not be discouraged by that, by forgetting words or stumbling or, you know, having to say, I'm sorry, I don't remember what that is in French. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? So just don't put on the brakes and just keep trying, and it'll all flow easier at some point.
Well, thank you very much to come and talk to me about the two official languages, French and English. Thank you very much, Kira.
Thank you so much for having me. Merci. Thank you so much.
Now, I have a conversation with a person who is from the Similkameen Valley, just across the mountain pass west of Penticton. I left the blooper at the beginning to show how familiarized we were talking French to each other that we forgot this was in English.
Bonjour Vincent.
Bonjour Pierre.
Je pourrais avoir ton nom complet, ton âge, d'où tu viens. Oh non, c'est en anglais. Je suis tellement habitué en français avec toi. Là. J'ai vraiment pas fait ça.
Imagine, on aurait fait une demi-heure ou quoi.
All right. OK. Bonjour Vincent.
Hello Pierre.
Let's start with what is your name, your age, where you come from. If you're not from here, what kind of language you talk originally, and what are your parents' languages?
My name is Vincent Deye, and also Vincent de Cowens, which is a name I gave myself because that's what we do in BC. And I'm 33. I grew up in the Eastern Townships in Quebec, in a town called Cowensville, hence Vince de Cowens. And at home, we spoke French and also English. My mother grew up bilingual. She has had a bilingual mother and bilingual father also. So at home, it just like with all my cousins, with all my siblings, everything, we just switched from one language to the other like there was no difference the whole time we grew up.
So both parents were bilingual, but was there like...
My dad's actually not very Anglophone.
Okay.
I mean, he can if he has to, but... Not very much so. So with my dad, speak French, and with my mom, mostly English, mostly. But she speaks perfect French, too.
Okay. You started, which language did you start with?
It's hard to say. It's both.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Both happened, and the Eastern Townships in Quebec, too, Pierre, is always, I always describe it like, it's like here, like Osoyoos almost. It's right on the border, except it's on the Burlington, Vermont area border. So... I was born in 85, so I think maybe I'm in a generation that we watched a lot of TV growing up. Probably too much TV. But a lot of the TV was, you probably know Radio-Canada. What were the other ones? Man, I can't even remember. Radio-Canada.
TVA.
Yeah, TQS, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Were the French channels, which my dad always watched. But they didn't have a lot of entertainment for kids, those channels. Maybe Passepartout was a big show there in Quebec. A lot of the entertainment were channels from Toronto or from the States. So we watched English TV almost all the time. So I think that had a big influence on which language we gravitated towards, probably.
But nobody sort of like say, okay, you talk English or to talk French when and how, but it just came in that way, both languages right off the bat.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Most of my friends were bilingual. So it's really just if the quickest word that came, I have trouble not doing it. I think you asked me a question. I saw a question earlier that made me think of that. It's almost hard to speak only one language rather than not switch to both. Like probably when you and I, we know each other prior to this interview.
Yeah.
And when you and I speak,
a disclaimer.
I think, let's be honest here. But yeah, I think you and I, probably in conversation might switch from English to French within a sentence or something like that.
Yes,
we don't even notice.
Yeah, the same thing in my family too.
So
we would switch from French to English in mid-sentence.
Wasn't even a thing.
Yes.
And then in the Eastern Townships, that you'll go to the grocery store and talk to the, you know, person, the cashier at the till or something, and the same thing might happen, and nobody notices. Like, it's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue, for sure. What schooling did you have? Was it which language?
French.
So you were in French school.
Yeah, 100%.
So that was decided for you to learn French.
I'm a little blurry on this, but I'm pretty sure that It's a rule, I think, in Quebec.
Oh, maybe
that if
yes.
both your parents were schooled in French,
yes,
okay. you are to go to French school.
Yes.
And they'll occasionally break the rule, because I know my aunt went to English school and yeah. just because they protested yeah, or something like
you
that.
You said 85, so that's after the new language act of
in the
70s. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's directly part of it. I just remember as a kid was like, why am I in French school? Like, how was that decision made? And it was because both your parents went to French school, you go to French school. And then if one of your parents, I guess then, you know, then you have the option, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how that works.
So so basically, you come to school, you knew already both languages, but you're schooled only in French. Any problems in English afterwards, or...?
I think I had a harder time in French. Is a more, much more difficult language.
Yes.
To me, anyways, yes. than English.
I had the same problem.
The rules, like, I was in French school, and I feel like I probably write better in English than in French still to this day.
Okay.
French is a challenge.
Yes.
a lot of rules and exceptions to every rule.
I could say that too. Yeah. Yes. So do you have any obstacles that you remember talking in both languages, or is it just... It was a non-issue for you. You didn't even have obstacles.
Like. Talking, I think talking was a non-issue. Okay. We didn't, as kids, like nobody cared, right? It didn't matter. It's you have access to two dictionaries.
Yeah.
Whichever word is the more precise or that comes first, that's the one you grab.
Yeah.
So a sentence might be pure Franglish, like it's really Franglish, and not the same Franglish that you might find in New Brunswick. Shiak is a whole different interesting thing.
Yes,
it's really fun, respectively. Switching from starting your sentence in English and switching to French midway and then back to English. And the best analogy I think I have for that is cereal boxes. We used to make forts with like cereal boxes when we ate breakfast. You'd have like three, like one in front and two on the sides, and that was your little fort. And so, of course, you'd read the cereal boxes. They often had games on the back or stuff like that. But you get to reading, like, you know, like, this is made of 100% whole wheat with whatever, whatever. And then you read it in English and read it in French. And it was always backwards.
Yes.
So I think that's one challenge that came up is sentence construction.
Yes, yes.
So I think that gave me a bit of a hard time maybe in school, like writing essays or whatever like that.
Yeah, okay.
Probably still to this day, I think. I try to explain stuff to people and they're like, that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm doing the wrong one at the wrong time.
So that's one of the questions. So is your mind like, when you talk English, you're English thinking, and if you talk French, you're French thinking? So how does that work? Do you know it? Did you notice it?
It's like two different rooms.
Okay.
So if I'm speaking in English, I'm probably thinking in English.
Okay.
And French, same thing. And it's a different color. Like, I don't like to get mad in French because I don't like the way it sounds in my head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah, it's like, I don't like this vibe. But I can get mad in English. I think it's kind of funny.
Okay.
It's so weird. Like, it's just maybe associated to different places in my mind. But how about you? Like, do you, because you asked me, do I translate?
Yes.
Am I thinking in French, for example?
Because I think the way I see it is... I sometimes don't talk well in English or in French, and it's because I probably go from the English to the French and the French to the English.
Right.
And I don't notice it. It's just the way it happens. And sometimes I go English to English or French to French. It's where I have the obstacles to talk the other language is mainly because I'm not thinking probably in that language. So that would be my thinking about it. So...
Like, I've started learning some Spanish in the last few years.
Yes.
And I had the hardest time. I studied it in CEGEP. Nobody will know what CEGEP is.
College is in Quebec.
College. And so I was studying it, and I really wanted to learn it, and I failed miserably. Like, I was listening, I was participating in class, and then I get my test results, and it was like 13%. I was like, man, I'm bad at this. Like, how come? Then I had a lot of friends that were Spanish, and one day a friend of mine, she said, you're trying to translate English to Spanish, you know French, why don't you do French to Spanish? And then the transition was so much smoother. It was so much easier to think in French when I was trying to speak Spanish.
Yeah, it's a lot more similar than the English
course,
to Spanish.
Of course,
for sure. The fact that you talk both languages right off the bat, it helped you in your life, you figure.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely lots of opportunities. And in Quebec back then, probably, I maybe wasn't as sensitive to it, but when I came out here, I got a lot of job opportunities, whether it be, well, I farm, you know this prior, but I'll say it like, so I work on farms, and I came here in 2009, and within a few months, I had sort of like a, I don't say like manager kind of positions, and definitely the basis was, all right, well, I got, my people skills are all right, but also because I could communicate with Quebecois and I can communicate with the locals here who only spoke English. And it just like, it drew that bridge. It was like, well, you're the guy, you can do that. So lots of opportunities out here from the get-go, for sure. And then in life, everyday life, for sure also. It's, you meet a Quebecois out here and he's like, you speak French? It's pas français? And then they want to have a conversation, right? So it opens a lot of doors. For sure.
Yeah. So any discrimination in your life because of any of the both languages or something like that?
I've been pretty lucky. I wouldn't play the victim much. Little stuff that might have happened that came to mind or come to mind when you asked that might have been just like at school. We were at a high school and there was an English side and a French side at our high school, and it was split down the middle and you weren't supposed to go on the other side. It's kind of weird, but so I know that just like, and I mean this is not like any sort of serious complaint, but just like things that come to mind, it might be on the French side I was the English kid, on the English side I was the French kid.
Yes,
so that's the always, and that's there's interest in that. I thought it was interesting that I was always like that outsider a little bit. Yeah. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
So I'm not going to ask the question is, what do you tell somebody how to go through some of the obstacles of learning a language? What if you have some, you didn't have any, it seems.
I didn't really, to be honest. Yeah. I'm pretty lucky. I'm very lucky. But having been in the process of learning more and more Spanish in the last few years, and having friends who were from Mexico, let's say, and were trying to learn English, the main thing is to not be afraid to make mistakes. The key is not to be afraid to look silly sometimes while trying.
Thank you for your time for this interview. Je vous remercie beaucoup, Vincent.
C'est un plaisir, Pierre. Merci à toi.
Hope you enjoyed the journey to Canadian bilingualism. I would like to say a gros merci to Benjamin Koenig, Mattia Leinor, Kira Chaurette and Vincent de Cowens for participating. Thanks also to the Rendezvous de la Francophonie. My name is Pierre Davidson for Peach City Radio Penticton. Un bon salut et à la prochaine.
Thank you for joining us for this marathon day of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, presented by the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station. For more information on les Rendezvous de la Francophonie events, or to provide feedback on the show, visit www.rvf.ca.